If you're able, please remain standing for the reading of God's Word. This morning I'll read from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 9 to 11. Isaiah 40, verses 9 to 11. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated. As we approach Christmas and the end of the year, do you feel like there are just too many things to keep track of? Maybe you feel a little bit like that juggler who's got five chainsaws up in the air, having to look at each one very carefully. Every move is critical to not only success, but survival. Do you feel that way a little bit during the holiday season? As you're juggling finals maybe coming up and grading and end-of-the-year reports and upcoming travel and gift buying and concerts and all of the things that pile into the season, and all of them feel so important. There's just no way to hold on to them all. And then maybe in the middle of that, you ask the question, who's holding me? Who's caring for me during all of this? This morning, as we consider this passage, there's a main point that I want you to remember, and I want you to listen for in the passage and in the message, and that is that in Jesus, God comes to us in power and gentleness. In Jesus, we see that God is powerful enough to bear our burdens, and yet gentle enough for our weaknesses. There is in the passage this morning in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, a translational decision that translators have to make. As they consider these first few lines, as I read, get on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. And then a little bit later, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. That's the ESV. If you're to read some other translations like the ASV or the NIV, you'll hear something a little different. And your footnotes may say that actually it's an appropriate translation to also interpret this as, or translate this as, go up on a high mountain, herald of good news to Zion. Lift up your voice with strength to Jerusalem. I actually prefer that. I think it's more in keeping with this whole chapter. If you went back to verse 1 and 2, you'll hear that these are words of comfort to Jerusalem. Speak tenderly to my people. What I believe we have here is good news for God's people that is to be announced and declared to Jerusalem, to Zion, to Judah, to God's covenant people. Now, whether the good news, the good tidings, the gospel is announced to Zion and to Jerusalem, or by Zion and by Jerusalem, either way, it doesn't change the nature of this good news. So what is it? What did the people who would be in exile, banished from the land of promise and banished from fellowship with God there in the land and in Jerusalem, banished from the temple, they no longer could worship in the temple, what did they need to hear? They needed to hear the same good tidings that we need to hear today. And that good news, those glad tidings, consisted of three words. Behold your God. These are the glad tidings. Behold your God. Consider your God. See your God. Now, is this really good news? The prophet Isaiah, if you were to back up in the first 39 chapters, you would hear over and over Isaiah writing to people who were rebellious. Isaiah writing to people in Judah in his own day, saying to them, God is going to act in opposition to you. God is going to, one phrase, smelt your the dross away from you. He's going to burn off your iniquity. God is going to judge you. In another place, he says, God's hand is against you and he will cut off the supply from you. So they've known and heard about God coming in opposition to them as a judge for much of 39 chapters. And now there's this announcement. Now comfort my people and declare to them good news. Behold your God. Well, is that necessarily good news? Maybe you heard, like I did in your youth, these words, just wait till your father gets home. I don't know if you ever heard that. I did as a child. But I'll be honest, I was actually more afraid of punishment from my mother than my father. I never let on to my dad about that. Just wait till your father gets home. I loved my dad, but some days I didn't want to see him come home because I knew I was going to be in trouble. Maybe for you, it's you feel anxiety and fear. Maybe when the teacher enters the room sometimes, or the boss shows up in the office, or maybe when the officer pulls you over. You're not sure what this is going to be like. You're not sure what this interaction is going to consist of. It may not be good news when the authoritarian shows up in your life, the authority figure shows up. It may mean for you the possibility of suffering. So is this good news? Well, what makes this individual showing up good news or bad news is the character of the authority figure. For the people to hear that God's arrival is good news, that these are glad tidings, it required some explanation then. What's the character of our God? What will he do? How does he act? But there is a hint. There is a hint in verse 9 when Isaiah says, fear not. These are glad tidings. I have glad tidings for you, and don't be afraid as you behold your God. Verse 10 reads, behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Last week I mentioned that Isaiah chapter 40 is a new section in Isaiah's prophetic ministry. Prior to that, he's speaking to people in his own day, telling them that they indeed will suffer, that they're going to be punished. They will be judged by God, who comes as a disciplinarian to purify his people. But now he writes to them once they are in exile. The people in the future, as they are in exile, cut off, now he says to them, there is comfort, there is good news, there are glad tidings for you. And what he says here is he's reminding them about the nature of God. First, he says in verse 10, behold, the Lord God. The words here in the Hebrew are Adonai Yahweh. The Lord and then Yahweh, the covenant God of Scripture, of the Old Testament. This is your covenant, personal God, and he is Lord. He comes to you. And then Isaiah says, and he comes with might. He comes with might. That is, the God who will come is strong and powerful. This adjective is often coupled together with passages where it talks about God's strong hand. Often it's God's hand that is mighty. No one can resist his will. No one can stop him, is the testimony of Scripture. And Isaiah says he's coming like that, with strength. Along with this depiction of his power is how then he's going to utilize that power. Notice he says that his arm rules for him. So God's power will be used to exercise authority. He rules with might, and he doesn't need assistance. The picture very much is that God will come with his sleeves rolled up. He will come to rule with a strong arm. So once again, we could ask, is this good news? Is this really good news for us? Being reminded that the disciplinarian who is arriving as a professional weightlifter isn't automatically comforting. This takes me back again to my childhood. There was a danger in school of acting up so much in class that you would be sent out into the hall. Now, for some students, this was actually the goal. You may have known a few of those. You may have been one of those students. You had grown weary of hearing the teacher talk about long division, and so you had hoped that, well, if I do just enough, maybe I'll get sent out in the hall. And that represented a reprieve from math for you. Well, in my school, that was true unless the principal came walking down the hall. There was a rumor in the elementary school that I attended that the principal actually had an electric paddle that he would use. As an adult now, I suspect that he started that rumor. Now, it would not have been comforting to students who sat in the hallway to see the principal coming, because he may have elected to show his authority and apply his authority through his paddle, whether it was electric or not. Now, it wouldn't have been good news either if the students had thought, and not only does he have an electric paddle, but he is a professional tennis player with a powerful forehand. Is it good news that God comes with might and power and authority? We're also told in verse 10 that his reward is with him and his recompense is before him. Isaiah is saying, God who comes does not come weak-armed or empty-handed. He comes with power and he will receive. He receives what is due to him. So, Isaiah is saying, behold your strong, authoritative, active, and fully compensated God. Well, would that sound like good news to you? If those things weren't true of God, however, if we pause for a moment and think, if indeed God was actually weak, if he was under the authority of someone else, if he was inactive and deficient, then we wouldn't fear him, we wouldn't respect him, we wouldn't worship him. So thankfully, he is all those things. He is powerful, and he does have authority, and he is worthy of our worship. But Isaiah's depiction does not end there. He's going to go on to tell us how God applies then that strength. How will God come and apply his strength? Listen to verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. So God will come, and what we find is that his recompense, his reward, is his people. What his hands and arms are full of are his people. That's what he has come to collect and gather. So behold your God, Isaiah is saying. He is like a shepherd. Your powerful, strong God is like a shepherd who tends his flock. Now, the primary idea behind God tending is that he feeds his flock. He provides pasture for his people. He's also like a shepherd as he gathers his lambs in his arms. This is an important image that we hear repeated in Isaiah, God gathering. Listen to Isaiah 11, verse 12. There we're told that the Lord will raise a signal for the nations and will assemble the banished of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. This is depicting God bringing his people into the fold. He will gather all of his sheep into the fold. With his strong and powerful arms, then God gathers people who are dispersed and scattered, living apart from him. And his people, notice, are lambs to him. Not just sheep, but lambs. A lamb is young and fragile and vulnerable. They must be handled with care and with tenderness. There are some businesses that have names that are not only memorable, but are intended to boost your confidence in their service or their product. It seems like beauty salons are often very adept at this, with names like A Cut Above or Main Attraction. That's a place where you'd want to get your hair cut, I would think. It's hypothetical for some of us. One of my favorites, of course, is Curl Up and Die, though I don't think that that's really intended to foster, a sense of confidence. Well, there is a moving company that services cities on the East Coast and West Coast that I think has just a great name for a moving company. Gentle Giant Moving. Gentle Giant Moving. Nothing is too big for us, and nothing is too fragile for us. They are strong enough to care for the things that are precious to you. Well, what Isaiah is declaring in Isaiah 40, verses 9, 10, and 11 here, is that the good news that God is coming, and He is coming with power and tenderness, that He is all-powerful, but also merciful and loving, that it is God who is strong enough to care for His people who are precious to Him. When Isaiah states here that God will gather His lambs and He will carry them in His bosom, Isaiah is announcing that God holds His people close to His heart. He carries His people with His powerful arms with affection. And He will gently lead those that are with young. God will not neglect or despise the suckling, but gently lead. He doesn't drive His sheep. Notice God will not come driving His sheep, but leading them as He carries the lambs. The people in exile were promised that God would come, and that He would come with power and gentleness, with authority and compassion, that He would come with a shepherd's heart. This prophecy then was fulfilled hundreds and hundreds of years later. An angel appeared announcing to, of all people, a group of shepherds. This angel showed up saying these words, and listen for echoes of Isaiah 9. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." A descendant of David, David the shepherd king, one of his descendants would come and was born, and they were told that he would be placed in, of all places, a feeding trough. He will come and he'll be placed in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. We're told then in Luke that the shepherds went to Bethlehem, to the city of David, and they found Joseph and Mary there, and the baby, and sure enough, he was lying in a manger of all places. And when they saw this, and it was just as the angel had declared to them, they told everyone. They told everyone there what the angel had said, and Luke tells us that all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They marveled. How could this be? The angels have announced it, and it has come about just as God had said. We're told that the shepherds, after they finished their visit, they departed. And as they departed, they glorified and praised God. They were shouting and singing as they left. These shepherds became the heralds of good news. They declared to the people that God indeed has come. Behold your God, and He's in a manger. As we consider Jesus, as you consider the Christ child during this season, but not only this season, but each and every day, behold God, because in Jesus, God comes with power. In Jesus, God has come, and He will come again with power. We know that Jesus came healing incurable diseases. Jesus came calming the winds and the waves. It's Jesus who came and multiplied matter as He fed thousands of people with a boy's snack. Not only that, but in Jesus, God comes with authority. Jesus came with authority, commanding demons to depart, purifying the temple, correcting the scribes and the Pharisees, speaking with authority. And in Jesus, God comes with tenderness. Your Savior came welcoming children into His arms. He loved the outcast. He would even reach out and touch the leper. The ones who no one else would touch, Jesus went to them. This is Jesus. And in Jesus, God comes with a shepherd's heart. In Jesus, God came calling his sheep into the fold, feeding them with the word, and laying down his life for them. So there is one last question then. Is he your God? Can I not only say to you, behold God, but behold your God? Have you entrusted your life to him? Do you entrust your cares to him? All of those things that you try to juggle in the air and the things that burden you, even the weight of your own sin, are you willing to put those down before him? Are you willing to let go of those idols and the trophies and those things in your life and entrust them to him? He bids you come. Come to me, all who are heavy laden. You who are burdened under the anxieties of life, come to me. Take my yoke upon you. He willingly will bear the condemnation for your sin because he has done so on the cross. He will willingly unite himself to you and remind you over and over, even in those moments when you start picking the chainsaws back up, no, you can put them down. Yes, stay busy, be faithful, but don't let the burden of those things overwhelm you because I have given you everything you need already. Will you trust him? Those who he then takes in his hands, those who he takes up in his arms, no one can snatch them out, we're told. Jesus is the good shepherd who holds his lambs, who holds his people in his arms, and no one can snatch us away from him. And he holds us with power and with tenderness. This is Jesus who came, and this is Jesus who will come again. So behold your God. Let's pray. Lord, we bow before you this morning, yet again as we marvel at your coming. Not only your coming in time past, but knowing that indeed you will come again. And knowing that you have sent your Spirit to abide with us even now. So we can say even now that indeed you have kept your promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So we thank you for your abiding presence now. And we worship you. But we also confess, I confess, how tempted I am, moment by moment, to pick things back up that I've entrusted to you. Please forgive me. Help us to rest in your power and authority, and that the things that we're involved in our lives, we will flee the temptation to let those define our identity or to give us hope for salvation. Help us to continue to see that you have fulfilled all that we need, that you have completed and fulfilled our salvation so we can entrust it to you and so we can live joyfully now in union to you, Lord Jesus. And if there's anyone here who has not heard the call of the gospel, Holy Spirit, I pray that they will see Christ, that they will behold God and say, that's what I need. He is the one, my only hope. And that they'll cry out in faith to Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you that you turn none away. We ask all these things now in the strong name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.